And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith and Richard Perno. For personal advice, visit envisionfinancial.com.au.
This bloke beeped as he went through. You're going to beep forever now, aren't you,
mate,
Luke Smith?
I've never wanted things to start ringing more when I walk past than I do right now.
Yeah, and you got a plate in your shoulder.
Yeah, look, I've got a big shout-out to Canberra Hospital and the day surgery.
How was the treatment? Come on, tell us.
The girls down there were dynamite. Yeah. My wife will attest that I am the softest man on earth. And I went in there with that clearly and openly on the table. I'm soft, I cry, and give me lots of drugs. And they were very, very
accommodating. He's not even pregnant.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the thoracic surgeon there, Dr. Smith, no relation, but big shout out because hopefully I'm going to be back in there for 3 months to have a plate taken out and we can go through the process again. But look, they were dynamite.
Stories I've heard, absolutely
the people
right.
in there were top shelf. And, you know, it's one of those things where you are very, very lucky and you thank God that we live where we live, we have what we have, and you can't put a price on someone just saying, are you okay?
No. I mean, you're quite right. We are here. Yeah. We are here, and it happens. By God, they run around, don't they?
Oh, look, they were dynamite. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where they are super under-resourced from what I could see.
Yeah.
Long shift,
smiles on their faces, though, huh?
And if you had to deal with 15 or 20 of me, it's enough to make you get down to Centrelink and change careers.
I reckon. Yeah, I'd rather be an alligator hunter than look after Luke
Smith. The girl that looked after me from Friday night to Saturday morning, she was... Yeah.
So there you go.
Dynamo.
Good praise from Canberra Hospital.
Yeah, look.
When do you get the plate out?
3 months.
Okay, what are you going to do with it?
Hopefully throw it in the bin.
You keep it on a mantelpiece somewhere. Flowers on it or something. I knew someone who had his appendix out and he's still got it in a jar with formaldehyde.
My wife does not read a memento of what she's having to deal with at the moment.
Brings it out on party nights. Look at this. This is my appendix of 14 years ago. There is something sensible, or was it Luke Smith, Envision Financial? You can call him now if you've got a question about your finances. 6255-1206. Okay. Scott Morrison Tuesday night stood up and said, this is what I'm going to give you.
Yep.
Bill Shorten stood up last night and said, this is what I'm going to give you.
Yep.
What do we get?
Didn't get a great deal, to be fair. If we look at previous budgets and the way that there were direct impacts at the moment, because for me it's all about the coalface. What do people benefit from now? And there were a lot of promises and a lot of, in 2020-something, we'll do A, B, and C. And look, for me, we don't know who's going to be running the country in the next 3, 4, 5 months. Could be good, could be bad, could be indifferent, could be anywhere in between. People need to think about, okay, this is a proposal. And I think this is the biggest thing we can stress to people at the moment is these are suggestions. And until they become law, they are still suggestions. So I would say to people, don't jump at shadows, don't make plans, don't make changes, keep doing the good things you've been doing, that is, be proactive, get in front, understand, learn, and look under the hood, and ask yourself, why? Because there was nothing in here that was really, wow, that will really make a difference. Mm. I can see some real value in that. I think it was a political budget, being the most...
It was campaign speeches.
Well, it was, and I am the least political person out there. I'm the first one to admit that. But it was all about trying to keep every section of every community of every populace happy.
Mm.
And you can't really do that with any meaningful change in any one particular area. So there are a few key things here that we'll touch on today that I think people will benefit from. But I always preface it with, until it's law, let's not worry about it too much. And then when it becomes law, okay?
Well, SkyMo's comm car will drive down the road that leads to Government House this weekend, probably Sunday, that's a tradition. It will then ask Peter Cosgrove to get rid of this parliament, sign it all off, and then we'll go to the election on the 11th of May.
Yeah, look, and I think that is what the Australian public should be more concerned about.
Yeah.
I've said on this show many, many times leading into this, in my industry, with what I see, I'm tired of seeing hardworking Australian people cry in my office because there's potentially thousands of dollars at risk for something they haven't done.
No.
And that's a first world problem, and it affects them and it affects me, and it upsets me that somebody that's worked for so many years, be it privately, publicly, for the government or anywhere else, that have taken chances and risks, paid tax, paid staff, employed people, and contributed to the community, could then have something taken from them that they cannot add to, change, or control, that for me is unacceptable. And that primarily, what I'm talking about there is the ongoing franking credit discussion, because for hardworking Australians, that is a real, real life problem. He's going to take away people's livelihoods. He's going to take away people's lifestyle, the choices, the options that they've spent 30 plus years working to try and attain.
Yeah.
Now, I'm all for change. Don't get me wrong. We all need to pay some tax. We all have a civil duty
Nobody
to
minds
do the right
paying
thing.
Tax.
No dramas. Yeah. But you can't penalise people that don't have the resources to improve their position. So if I was him and I wanted to get a vote through, I would look to say, okay, if we have to swallow this franking credit consideration, put a time frame on it and say, if you're born after this date, it applies to you. So people like me and you and all the other hardworking people out there that are trying to save for their retirement, we have the ability to try and make some changes and take those considerations into account. They didn't do that with the transfer balance cap. They penalised people that have been retired for 20 plus years. And those people made decisions under the legislation at the time that they retired within the rules that they were working with, and the changes were basically just a blatant slap in the face and made significant implications in relation to how people retired that I see every day, because I'm the person that has to try and pick the pieces up and make sure that they can continue to do the things they like to do and have the retirement that they wanted after 30, 40
years
of working.
That's right. See, Luke Smith, what he came back to say, Bill Shorten, was that we'd rather spend that money on infrastructure, schools and hospitals.
And look, I think there's a place for keeping the community going. There's a place for spending money. There's a place for employing people.
Yeah.
But not at the detriment of those that cannot help the position they are in because they do not have an option. You can say to me at 42, you can say to you at 43, you're going to have to do this before you retire. We can manage that. For your 60 plus year old that isn't working, that isn't contracting, that has been retired for many years.
And has this had this stuff for 20 years.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't reach in now and take back what they've always had because you've decided that, hang on a second, I've got a view on A, B and C. And it comes back to the Royal Commission discussion that we had. When you've got somebody that's galactically disconnected trying to put forward a suggestion that they don't understand to be implemented by people that don't understand the implications, it's a dangerous environment that we're in. So, yes, we've had a budget, and yes, there are some changes, but I would be more concerned about who people are voting for and the outcome of the policies of the parties that could be in control, because ultimately that will be what drives the legislative change that helps people either save or not save, retire or not retire, move into an aged care facility or not. They're
That's
the
right.
bigger discussions that the Australian public needs
One
to
of the interesting
of.
Things, Luke Smith, that came out to me, that they weren't going to increase Newstart, but they also weren't going to give those on Newstart this energy break of between $75 and $125. Scott Morrison had said, no, day after the policy speech, oh, yeah, we forgot about that one. So you wonder how many other tweaks need to be done in both parties who delivered
Correct.
Their speech. Have there been thoughts enough about exactly what you're saying on the franking credits? Maybe it'll happen. Maybe that party, the Bill Shorten's crew, will say, well, yeah, okay. We didn't talk to anyone about that. We're going to tweak that as well. Where do we go? Let's dream. Out of it, is there anything in there that you...
Yeah, look, there were some sort of, let's call them tweaks.
Okay.
Obviously, increasing the age that people can make contributions to super. So they've put forward that, people from 65 and 66 will be able to contribute to super.
Yeah.
Without that'll tie in with the increasing ages for age pension.
Can I jump in there? I talked to Kay Carnell the other day. She's the Ombudsman for Small Business and Families. She brought up a very interesting point to say that women who jump out of the workforce, their super stops.
Yep.
They may do family, they may change career. They get back into the workforce, but they may have missed 4 or 5 years of paying super. She would have liked, something to say, okay, you can catch up on good years. Same for business.
Okay, so we've talked about this.
Yes.
We talked about this first week of this year, actually, I think, from memory. Concessional catch-up legislation. Really, really, really awesome piece of legislation that achieves exactly what you're just talking about. So we know that $25,000 is the most you can put in a super. whatever you don't use between yourself and your employer from the end of this financial year carries forward. We've had a huge, huge response from this, and I think it is one of the most under the radar things that people can take advantage of, because it'll let you build and build and build and build and build. So for everybody out there that says, well, okay, this year I can't put 25 in, and let's say 10 goes in from work and 25's the limit, you've got 15 you can throw in. If you don't use it this year, provided your super's under $500,000 in total, you can carry that forward to next year. So don't despair.
Yeah.
Keep going. Be proactive. Look under the hood. And make little changes.
What about if you jump out of the workforce, though?
It doesn't matter. If you don't use it in a financial year, it carries forward for 5 years.
Right.
So you could come back in 2 years, have a significant increase in income and go,
that's good.
Super, and catch up very, very quickly. So,
because we all have lean times, don't we?
Oh, look, exactly. Yeah. And that piece of legislation was made for exactly that reason, for mums and dads returning to the workforce, contractors, people that have taken a leave. You've had a sabbatical year where you've gone off to do some education. You can come back and keep building proactively outside of the limits that are there.
So how do you do that? What is that?
Well, it's just about making sure that
What's it called?
It's the concessional carry forward legislation.
Right, okay.
Where what you don't use up to your 25, you carry forward to the next year. Now, it only came into law this year. So this is the first year. So if you're out there listening, don't worry. Oh, I should have done this 5 years ago. I had a client say to me this week, I wish that was in 7 years ago when I had my kids. I said, well, look, don't worry. You didn't miss out on it because it only started this financial year.
Why was it kept a secret?
Well, it didn't exist.
Yeah.
So it was one of the best pieces of legislative change that we've seen that actually helps people. And I think legislation is fine, but legislation needs to help people.
For the long term.
Exactly.
Not just to the next election.
Exactly. Yeah. And take into account changing situations. We work in a contract environment, work in an employed environment, and a combination of the two. So, you know, they've put forward that we'll drop some of the tax rates from 2024. Okay, that's nice, but we don't know who's going to be in charge in May, let alone...
I don't want to have a dinner, let alone 2024.
Correct. Yeah. Increasing the age limit for spouse contributions from 69 to 74 from the 1st of July 2020. So, again, can't do anything now, but something to keep in your pocket that you can pull out a little bit later on, and gives you another mechanism to get money into superannuation, which is obviously a tax-effective environment, and it lets you look at equalisation of superannuation and some other things that are there. They made some significant increases to the funding towards healthcare and aged services, which I think is fantastic. Aged care is obviously quite topical. Let's hope that the Aged Care Royal Commission doesn't come out with the flat pancake that the Royal Commission was for actually helping the people that are affected.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I'm all for reform, and I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm not against change. But help the people. I have an occupation where my obligation is to help the people. Regulators and people that sit in Parliament have an obligation to help the people, because ultimately they must have had a moment somewhere along the line where they said, I want to help the community. Now, if the Australian public regulated their wages, they may or may not do the job. That's a different discussion.
Yeah.
So the fact that they've come out and said, you know, we're going to focus on healthcare and aged services and aged care facilities is fantastic, and there's going to be some benefits there in relation to assistance payments, varying degrees of care that you can get, obviously 1 through 4 in relation to home care. So anything that we can help the older portion of the population stay in home, feel safe, feel in control and do these things, I think is a wonderful use of budgetary change.
Mate, we're hanging around for our medical miracles. We're staying alive a lot longer, and we're going to be older.
Look, we are. And obviously, women live longer than men statistically. And I argue that maybe they cause us to have heart attacks sooner than we do, but, you know, I'll leave that to my wife.
Yeah.
So, look, these are areas where, you know, they've come forward and said, well, you know, we will give you a payment of $75 for singles and $125 for couples for energy assistance. Okay, these sorts of things are great, but give us policy that we can build on to help people on an annual basis.
That's right, for the long term.
Because people care about retirement more than they care about their energy bills. It's not to say they're not important, but if we have to have a top three, your electricity bill's not in my top three.
Mm.
No one's ever come into my office and said, hi, I'd like to talk about my electricity bill.
No.
They come in and say, how can you save money? How can you help me mitigate maybe some tax and make the most of the things that I'm trying to do so I can get ahead?
Yeah. Not today, not tomorrow, but for a few years ahead.
Exactly.
As well.
So,
all right, so a government's going to be in on the 11th of May, okay? What do we do? How do we keep our lives on track?
Well, I think the biggest thing people can do is, one, obviously don't dance at shadows. So don't look through the budget, although there wasn't anything that was, you know, a screaming benefit in there. Don't worry about things that aren't law yet. That's what I generally say to most people. Work with what we can work with, but keep being proactive.
Mm.
Understand what your options are. You know, I've had a couple of appointments this week in the sling, and people have been very understanding about not having a collared shirt on. But we've raised some strategic issues that people have said, well, could I do this in the future? For sure. And that would save me $6,000 a year in tax. Mm. Yes. And next year, another six. And another six. So I think the important thing is have the good behaviours. Understand what's under the hood.
Mm.
Look at what your options are and understand, because you don't know what you don't know. And those out there that know me, they're sick of me rabbiting on about that. And I've actually got that website registered by a good friend of mine, because I say it that often. It's actually relevant, because too many times people come into my office and say, well, what should I do? Well, there's this, this and this.
Yeah.
I wish someone had said that to me 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, don't wait 5 years to find out that you've been paying too much. Mm. Understand, be proactive, have good behaviour, and make informed decisions.
Yeah, and look for the future. Don't make knee-jerk reactions on what you've heard.
Exactly.
Because then, as you say, it's not law yet. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. Don't dance at shadows, because this stuff doesn't... Whatever they put forward has to be... It has to attain royal assent.
Mm.
Until it's law, it's not law. Absolutely. So as far as I'm concerned, it didn't happen.
Good advice. We'll wait now to see when the election is called, probably on Sunday when the signatures and the writs are handed out, and then we may go to the election on May 11th. If you missed anything of this or the past, there are many ways you can find it, isn't there?
Yeah, look, correct. Yeah, look, that's right. We have every show on YouTube now, Envision Financial Canberra, so we obviously have that for those that don't have the podcast. On Apple, the Strategy Stacker.
Yep.
You know, Luke Talks Money, so we wrap these things up. And starting from next week, we'll have our third-party interview series about the key things that you should understand about other areas. So we'll be moving into mortgage broking, have a will, don't have a will, what's an enduring power of attorney, what does a good accountant do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all the familiar questions that we get from people about similar topics, because you don't know what you don't know. And if we can try and point you in the right direction and get you in that circle of safety so that we know you're going to be okay...
You're done. And you can talk to the team at Envision Financial at 4452 Townsend Street, Phillip. Coffee from Barb. Luke Smith and his team will look after you upstairs. Book an appointment, first one, obligation free, and you can find out what you really don't know. 6260-4749. Don't go through any airports, because you'll beep.
I'm off the bike and I'll see you next week.
Yeah, thank you, man.